Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure that you do read through the announcements. We are in the fall, which tends to be sometimes some of the busiest things happening then. We're starting up programs, starting up all the different things, so there's a lot of events. There's some area events in there that you might want to check out. Also the things that are going on in the church. And I think, Kathy, you got to mention a few of these.
Hi. Social Concerns is pretty busy right now. One of the first things we have is a reminder that on Thursday, October 5th, from 3:30 to 5:30, we're going to be having the drive-through flu clinic. All of the prices and things are in the bulletin. Make sure to bring your insurance card if you have those. We'd like to see as many people out as we can get. I also still need some helpers to, like, take information down from the people in the cars. So if you're able to do that, please contact me or the church office and let us know so I can keep you up to date. Another really important thing that's going on right now is we're partnering with the Golden Crescent Children's Project. This is a group who deals with the families and children in the Golden Crescent area, and DeWitt County is a part of that. One of the things they have discovered this year is there are just a significant amount of children right now in the school districts who are homeless or unstably housed. They're couch surfing or they don't have a standard place to live. So this food drive is going to be dedicated to those children. Some of our schools right now have a backpack program where children can come and for the weekend they can pick up a backpack of food and things to eat. And we need items that are not needing to be cooked or microwaved because a lot of families do not have those types of things. Because a lot of the kids, they get their only meals that they are getting are at the schools when they have it. So on weekends they're doing without. So we're trying to make sure that every county in the Golden Crescent has that food accessible to the children who need it the most. So until October 15th, we're going to have a food drive going on over here. And I have a list in the Narthex and the Annex of the types of foods, kind of suggestions of the types of foods that y'all can provide and help with. And if you can think of some others that kind of fit the criteria, that would be wonderful. They were looking at the kind of food that most of these children have grown up to eat because they're familiar and easy to get for these families. So those subtle bright purple boxes that are going to be in the Narthex, the Annex, and the educational building, please drop off as much food as you can for these families. We'll be picking it up and dropping it off, so things that you're giving here in this county are going to stay here within the Yorktown area. So I really hope that y'all will help participate. Y'all have always had generous hearts, and we hope you continue with that for these children. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Other announcements? Okay. Then we begin with our opening hymn, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Please rise.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Holy is the Lord, the Almighty.
He was, he is, and he is to come.
He is worthy of glory and honor and power. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy to take his soul and receive.
By his blood he purchased for God
people of every race and tongue, of every folk and nation.
Christ made of them a kingdom,
and priests serve our God,
and they shall reign on earth forever.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault.
Wherefore I pray God Almighty
to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting. The Almighty and Merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you call us to work in your vineyard and leave no one standing idle. Set us to our tasks in the work of your kingdom and help us to order our lives by your wisdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, I Love You, Lord, and we sing through it twice. You may be seated.
The first lesson is a reading from Jonah chapter 3. I begin at verse 10. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came upon the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are not concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of the Lord. We'll now read Psalm 145 responsively. I will exalt you, O God, my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. There is no end to his greatness. I will ponder the glorious splendor of your majesty and all your marvelous works. They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness. They shall sing of your righteous deeds. The second lesson is a reading from 1 Philippians. I begin at verse 21. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy and faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
May be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's prayer.
Good morning. Come on up and join me this morning. We're going to have a little fun. How are you doing? Everybody having a good week? Good. I'm glad. So, I love the lessons today. First of all, the Old Testament lesson is one that I love because it's a story of Jonah, okay? And Jonah, when you think about Jonah, what do you think about? Do you think about mainly the big fish coming and swallowing him? Okay, well, that's really a good part of the story, but it's only part of the story. What the story is really about is what our lesson talks about today. Jonah really didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't think the people were very good. And he even tried to run away on this boat to Tarshish. And the storm came up. God brought a storm up. And the guys threw him overboard because he said, "I'm the reason. I'm running away from God." And then the whale comes and gets him. But even then, he doesn't die because the whale spits him back out. And yet, all throughout Jonah, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go. And the people of Nineveh were bad, but they turned to God. So sometimes what we think is right and what God thinks is right may be different things, okay? And I love Philippians too, and we'll come back to that. But right now, what I want you to do is I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, what I want you to do is I want you to go out here and make me a straight line. We're going to be looking that way towards the elevator, okay? You think you can do that for me? All right, so straight line, pointing that way. One, two, three, go. Okay, pretty good, pretty good. I like that. Now, every line has to have a leader, right? And we have a leader right here. Okay, these two guys are going to be our leaders, okay? Now, thing about a leader is we used to think that that was really a neat privilege and honor to be the leader of the line, right? But I think these days it's kind of become more than that. I think we kind of think that because I'm the leader, I'm the special person. I did something to deserve this. I am the big person in the line. I think we kind of started to think that way. Matter of fact, you may have made an arrangement with the person making the line so you can get up here. Which reminds me, there'll be $5 due at the end of the children's sermon here, like we agreed upon. But that leader of the line sometimes gets to think so much about themselves, they forget something. Without the rest of you, they're not a line leader, are they? They're just a leader. And as a leader, if you start thinking about only yourself, what if somebody isn't paying attention back here and you take off? Then all of a sudden, there's no line anymore. There's a big gap in the middle. Or if they fall and hurt themselves, you'll never know because you're always, I'm the leader. But what happens if you do this? Now, if I was to do that, how do you think that person up front is going to feel? Especially if he's thinking, I'm the best person. What's going to happen? They're going to start to say, hey, wait a minute. I was the best person. What are you doing up here? They might even get angry, right? By the way, the $5 is now your responsibility. I'm just kidding. You know what? That's where the second lesson comes in. Philippians is really a neat book. It says, I want you to stand side by side. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn around and face them. Now look, is there a leader? Actually, you all are. Now, one more thing. Put your arms on your hips like that, but put your arm through the person next to you. So in other words, link arms. Okay? Now, if somebody forgets and doesn't move with you, you're going to know it because there's going to be a drag on your arm. You're going to be like that. And if somebody is missing, you're both pointing the same direction, and you're going to see that person drop out. And you're going to know there's somebody missing. That's what they're talking about in Philippians. This is what he wants our church to look like. There's leaders in there, but we're working together side by side. And the other neat thing about it is, with your arms linked like that, there's always room for somebody on either end. Or, even, if they don't want to be on the ends, they can come in the middle. So that's what I think we should be thinking about. Let God guide us, and let's work together. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it doesn't matter who's first and last in your eyes. We're all children of God. When we come to baptism, you don't say this person first or that person last. We all come as a child of God. Help us to work together with you and build your church up, ready to welcome anyone into our line. Amen. Thank you. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think if any of you parents out there, anybody who's ever been a parent of more than one kid, have heard this before. It's not fair. It's not fair. He got a bigger piece of cake than I did. It's not fair. She got to go and I didn't get to go. We hear it's not fair, and we hear it in the home. We hear it at school. We hear it in the workplace. We hear it with labor relations. We hear it in politics. We hear it in social issues. We hear it across the world. It's not fair. They got more than I did. It's not fair. We try to teach our kids to be fair, to play by the rules, to be fair with one another. We live in a country where it's built into our documents of to be fair, for justice, for liberty and justice for all, that all people are created equal. We want to be fair. We want to try to be fair. We want to treat each other fair. We say we live in a country of laws, that the law should be applied to one person as well as to the next, that there should be justice in that. We want to be fair. But then we get to this parable here that we read today. And this Jesus tells this parable about a vineyard owner, a landowner, who pays his laborers the same, whether they worked 8 or 10 hours or whether they worked 1 or 2 hours. They all got the same amount of money. Now, is that fair? It really doesn't strike us either as being fair. And the one thing to think about here is God is not necessarily fair, because God goes beyond being fair. He goes way well above being fair. He is generous. This story is not about how to run a business. Because if you tried to run a business in this way, your workers would say, well, I don't have to work 8 or 10 hours a day. I can only work 1 or 2 hours a day, and I'll get paid the same. So why should I come in on time? Why should I get there early? Why should I be there and do all that work if I'm going to get paid the same? Or others may get jealous, just like here in this parable. They may get jealous and complain that it's not fair. This is not a way to run a business. This parable is not about running a business. And as a matter of fact, it seems to be intentional in trying to antagonize the workers. Intentionally, the landowner said to his manager, line the people up, line my workers up, so that the last ones who were here go through first, and then those that were here all day long go through last. And he paid them. He paid them in that way, and they saw what each other got. They knew what the wage was, and so when the last ones, the ones who had worked all day long, came through, they thought, this landowner is generous. He's going to pay us more. And when he did not, they hollered, unfair. They hollered, it's unfair. But it is intentional. I know I had a job in high school, and my employer told me, don't let the other see what you are making. That's between you and me. And I had no idea what others were making. They had no idea what I was making. If I knew what they were making, I might holler unfair. Or they may holler unfair. I may think, well, I'm working as hard as they are, but I'm not getting paid as much. Or I'm getting paid more, and so I must be better. And that's one thing that we do, is we compare ourselves with each other. We look around and we see other people who have more than what we have. And we can think in a couple of different ways. They must be better than we are. God must love them more. Or we start to think and get jealous. Why do they get that? Is God showing favoritism to them? Why do they have more than I do? We get jealous, we get angry, we get resentful. Or we look the other way and we see people who do not have as much as we do, and we think, well, I'm better than they are. See how much more God has blessed me? God must love me more. I must be doing right, that I have so much more than they have. They must not be as good a people as we are. They must be bad people. We judge people accordingly. And that's what strikes so much here in this parable, is that the landowner wanted to see what each one was getting paid, which doesn't work in our society. We don't. So otherwise, we do compare. We get jealous, or we get angry, or we get bloated. It doesn't work for us. But here in this parable, it seems that God is intentional in doing it that way. Why? Again, it's not a parable about business practices, but rather it's a parable about God's grace. It's a parable about God's grace and His mercy. You know, it must have stung a little bit when those first workers complained about their wage. But were they cheated? No. They received what they had agreed to receive. They were not cheated. God was fair in that instance. But was it fair that God gave more to those who did not work that long? No, it's not fair, but God was generous. He still gave them what their labor was worth, plus He gave them so much more. God does not seem to be fair. We don't always understand. We don't always know why. But God is not fair, because He is so generous. And that's what this parable is about. It's about the generosity of God. You know, we've been hollering it's not fair from the beginning of time. If you go all the way back to the story in Genesis, Cain gets jealous of Abel because God accepts Abel's sacrifice. He gets so jealous that he kills Abel. Cain kills Abel. And it goes throughout history. We are jealous. We holler, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's been going on forever. We can also say that God is not fair, but not because he doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't give us what we deserve because he gives us so much more. And actually, what it is that we deserve is punishment. When we sin, we rebel against God. We say, God, I don't need you anymore. I don't need what you have. I don't need what you give to me. I can make it on my own. I can do what I want. I can make my best decisions for myself. But we can't. And when we do that, we're kicking God out. But God still is willing to accept us back. He sent his son into this world to lead us, to teach us, and to save us. He went to the cross and he died with our rebellion on his shoulders. And he rose again, assuring us of eternal life. God is way more than fair with us. He is generous. Generous without bounds. He continually gives to us. He saves us even though we do not deserve it. We can holler, it's not fair, God. But it's not fair, God, because you have given us so much more than we deserve. God continues to bless us each and every day. We need to remember that and remember where all our blessings come from. This parable does not teach us about how to handle business relations, but it teaches us the generosity of God. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Thanks be to God. Amen. We sing the hymn of the day, Chief of Sinners Though I Be.
Chief of sinners.
Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us approach the throne of grace on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Thank you, Father, for calling us early, midday, and late in life to be your disciples and workers in your kingdom's vineyard. Thank you for seeking us to do your work, even when others think we're not good enough. Give us grace to hear your call and strength to do your will. Thank you for the wages of everlasting life and salvation, and for your pleasure in us, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our persecuted sisters and brothers around the world. Give them courage to honor Christ in their body, to boldly speak and joyfully live the gospel, and to know that they share in Jesus' suffering. Lord, in your mercy. Help the people of this congregation to stand firm together, striving to proclaim the gospel in word and deed. Help us to work at whatever task pleases you. Make us glad when others begin to work alongside us, knowing that your grace has drawn them to serve you, even as it drew us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our young people, especially those considering a vocation to ministry and service in your church. Give them delight in learning and love for your people. Preserve them from the consequences of folly or malice. Use their energy to please you and to serve their neighbor. Lord, in your mercy. God, who is ready to relent from punishing, impart your compassionate wisdom to legislators, judges, members of the military, and law enforcement. Give them courage to serve their communities in times of uncertainty, stress, or exhaustion. Lord, in your mercy. O God, in whom we live and move and have our being, grant us sufficient rain and protect us from floods, so that being supplied what sustains us in this present life, we may seek more confidently what sustains us for eternity. Lord, in your mercy. Bring health and gladness to all whose lives are shadowed by pain, suffering, or sorrow. Give compassion, gentleness, and patience to all who care for them. We pray especially for Ruby Warzeka, Carrie Miller and the twins, Cynthia Hogemeyer Strait, Pastor Craig Sturm, Lori Bargfield, Joyce Meyer, George Wisey, Lynn Magura, and Sandra Heil. Lord, in your mercy. God, who abounds in steadfast love, we give thanks for the saints called to the kingdom of heaven. united with him in spirit, hold us firm as we labor in this life and look to the life to come. Lord, in your mercy, conform our prayers to the heart of Jesus. Hear them through the interceding of your Holy Spirit and grant them accordance with your gracious will. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Please rise.
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Hymn of Joy. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.